over with our first speaker tonight, who is Abby.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. It's all right, no hurry. Okay, so, hi, my name's Abby and I'm an addict.
Hi, Abby.
Oh, when Beverly asked me to do this, I thought that it would be, I thought that by choosing to do the 15-minute share instead of the 40-minute share, I was actually cutting myself a break. But it's just been occurring to me for the last 10 minutes. I've been sitting here thinking, I could have said no. I could have just said, ooh, because I really, I don't fancy it now. I stopped taking drugs, including alcohol. And you have to say that. I live in Australia now, and you have to say, I have to say drugs, including alcohol, because a lot of people identify as addict and alcoholic, which I think is dumb, because alcoholic is included in addict. But I stopped taking drugs, including alcohol, in the first week of January 1993, which, thank you. Nobody is more surprised than I am. And I don't remember the exact date because I don't know about anybody else, but I had no intention of getting clean, let alone staying clean. I mean, it was a stupid idea. Drugs at that point were the only thing in my life that I liked. Everything else was shot all to fuck. Anyway, it was ruined. I had, at that point, stopped being able to relate to people on any meaningful didn't come into it, on any useful level. I couldn't get the stuff I wanted from people, let alone give anything to anybody else. I couldn't work. I'd been sacked from at least two brothels for being a bit ropey. And, I was not really holding it together. And it wasn't going well. And so using drugs did actually make me feel very slightly better several times a day. And there wasn't anything else that was working. They weren't really working, but, you know, certainly nothing else was. So I didn't want to get clean, so I didn't take note of the day when I didn't take any more drugs, but that happened sometime after a very nice man took me to meetings and kindly 13th stepped me before he 12 stepped me. And, I know there's one person in this room who used to say it's attraction rather than promotion, and that's how it worked for me. I don't recommend it as a game strategy. I really don't, because it really very nearly went badly wrong. And it's only because of the support of the rest of the fellowship that I haven't used. I thought of loads of really clever things to say tonight, last night, in front of the bathroom mirror. And then today I made the mistake of opening the blue book and just reading a little bit of the fundamental literature, which I used to keep me clean for the first couple of years of recovery. And I realised how empty those kind of clever little aphorisms were, how many of the basic principles I'd managed to forget. Just while I was spending last night thinking about what I was going to share to you and thinking about how that made me look. Because that's not what this is about. I mean, to be honest, part of what I don't fancy about doing this share is that what I discover in meetings, what I've discovered that is a big part of how they work for me is that when I'm sitting in a room full of addicts, most of us, all of us, have these little flashes of insight, little moments of extraordinary wisdom. And for me, they are never the ones that I've worked out in advance. It's always kind of stuff that comes to me spontaneously. And so that's kind of like the opposite of what I'm trying to do here. But I guess what I'm doing here is I'm engaging with that with tradition 12, you know, that anonymity principle where who I am, what I do, what I've done, where I've come from, all of that stuff is irrelevant. What I am when I'm sitting here is an addict. I'm not the addict. I'm certainly not the best addict or the worst addict. I don't even think I would make the median addict. I think I'm just an addict. And the fact is that I did some using. I was a chronic poly abuser from roughly the age of 13 to roughly the age of 20-something. It wasn't just that I couldn't stop. I couldn't want to stop. I couldn't see. You know, I was born with every advantage. I mean, not a huge amount of money or anything, but every advantage. I had two arms and two legs, and I had, you know, not too, you know, an unreliable but not too bad of a brain. But somehow I sort of snatched misery from the jaws of opportunity, and I was, yeah, set about. I just set about reinforcing that misery and that self-rejection and life rejection, and I did that on a daily basis with a, you know. With you know, alacrity, I think. I think that's a good word. I'm sort of set to. And I think more than what it wasn't so much what or how much I used, because I know I wasn't the worst drug addict in this room, that's for sure. But I was really bad at it. Without kind of without being the worst drug addict in the room, I got into the kind of trouble I could not dig myself out of. I was totally miserable, psychotic a lot of the time, And I would say lucky to be alive, except, cool, thank God for that. I'm nearly there. I would say lucky to be alive, but I did not feel lucky at the time. I didn't even get into recovery. Right, so I got into recovery. I went to meetings. I washed the ashtrays because in those days we had ashtrays in the meetings. And I washed the ashtrays because it made me feel like I had an excuse to be there. I thought, isn't it nice that these people have got clean and that they've found a new way to live? And I had no idea and no notion that that was for me. I had no idea that I could be part of that. What else did I do? Oh, well, I got a sponsor. I got a sponsor, and I've had the same sponsor now for near on 20 years, and she knows me better than anybody. She certainly knows me better than my family, than my mother. My father died last year, but. Yeah, she certainly knows me better than my mother or my sister or anybody I grew up with. And whenever I talk to my sponsor, which is, of course, less and less frequently because I'm cured, every time I talk to her, I am astonished to find that she actually knows what's going on with me because it's the same stuff that's been going on with me for 20 years. It's just in slightly different forms. Is that in my recovery, I did go through, I want to say, the thing that has kept me clean, probably, is that I got a service commitment when I was 6 months clean. I was tricked into becoming a GSR. I did not know what it stood for. I was certainly quite surprised when I found myself in the ASC, didn't know what that stood for either. At 11:30 at night, and they're still talking. And I sat in, we were talking about this earlier, I sat in that ASC for 6 years. I mean, not because I didn't know when to go home, but because I kept putting my hand up for things. And doing that service and being involved in the fellowship at a kind of deeper level and finding that it wasn't about what I could get, it was about what I could give, I stuck around. And I think that I still don't have the kind of it's not self-esteem, but I don't have the kind of goodwill for myself that is necessary for me to stay clean under my own steam. It was necessary for me to have people relying on me and people putting their faith in me for me to keep turning up. And that's what I did. So that's a good thing. Sponsor, very good thing. Amazing. She knows my stuff and she knows where to point me, and it's usually in the direction of the steps, which are the other 12 principles, which I forget every single day. And it's not because she's the addict, it's because she's an addict, and she knows what it was like for me when I was using, and she knows what it's like for me as a recovering addict. And it isn't easy. I've had a lot of my dreams come true. That's actually not true. What they said to me when I first got clean was, what you will get in recovery is beyond your wildest dreams, and that is true. Because when I got into recovery, I had no way of knowing how good stuff could be. And I had no way of knowing how much joy there is in things which I never valued when I was using. So I've had loads of that. I've also had some things come into my life in recovery which I would have thought were really good exit signs. You know, I've had people die, which didn't happen a lot when I was using, but they've done it in recovery. And I've had relationships do that, and I woke up one day with 30 grand in debt. Where's that from? And you know, that was just after I declared myself cured at about 9 years clean. But I've had a lot of stuff go wrong in recovery, and I guess what I count as a win is the fact that at no point have I thought that I could improve my situation by having a user. At no point. So I think I've said, yeah, so, yeah, get a sponsor, work the steps, go to meetings and don't use. Just don't. And see what happens. And that's me. That's it.
Thank you.